The minutes, I didn't look the minutes over.
I did, I don't have any problem with them.
I looked at them too.
Yeah, I didn't. I seen the ones on there for the planning commission, but I didn't see the ones for this.
Yeah, they're attached to it.
Okay. So I guess we'll get down to the business.
Agenda.
A discussion of the vicinity review and plea application meeting with Avenue Consultants on their proposed Genoa residential subdivision located at approximately 2424 North, 800 West, parcel number 29005055 and 29005056.
Did you want to approve the minutes?
Oh, yes. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None?
Yes, whatever we're supposed to say here.
Affirmative.
Okay. This is just a preliminary meeting. There's no action to be taken on this. Just so you know. Just a pre-application meeting.
Pre-application meeting. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So this is I'm just going to start if that's okay, because this is one that we looked at before.
I did bring...
Right?
Not really. They've never come officially with the plans to us.
Well, we've looked at it before. We've not reviewed it.
Yeah, we've seen it from the health department.
I've seen it. Yeah.
The health department had a couple questions regarding a couple of things.
Okay, so we're not at a point with requiring them to have the letter from the health department at this point in time, having the perk test, having all of that kind of stuff.
No, okay. Not at this time. I did bring the subdivision application checklist if we want to go over.
But again,
things
not,
missing.
No action. This is
no
just
action.
A pre-application meeting.
Just pre-application
okay.
meeting.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. So one of the things that I saw on page C-1-0. Is that there's a gap in ownership between the existing 2260 North and the proposed 2260 North. There's a parcel 29016-0090 that's owned by Richard and Douglas York that would create not being able to have that street connected, which is not going to work for connectivity. So I don't know what's being done, if anything, to remedy that, to purchase that or have them deed it or do whatever, but that road can't stop the way that it is because it doesn't provide the connectivity and everything that's needed for fire, in my opinion.
Please. He's a representative.
I'm Jeremiah from Avenue Consultants.
Thanks
for everyone being here tonight.
Really
appreciate it.
Yeah.
We are have an agreement with the Yorks to take ownership for that parcel.
So that's great, but you need to show it on the plans as well. You can't just stop it there. They would either need to deed it to you or deed it to the city or be part of the subdivision. In other words, the big dark line around it would have to be changed to show that. Because otherwise, again, you don't have connectivity there.
Right.
Chris, do you have any other thoughts on that? Okay.
No. Be connected because they've got to connect the water lines and everything that are straight down there onto that road.
So. Right. And my concern is that we would not give them approval as it's drawn because we don't approve to go through somebody else's private property.
It's not our worry.
It's not, that's correct. It's theirs to make it happen. And if that's great, if you're working on it, that's fantastic. So
they've already verbally agreed to all that.
But again, your plans need to show like that.
Yep.
Show the change. I didn't see any measurements, and maybe I'm missing it somewhere. For the cul-de-sacs, with the cul-de-sac requirements, they have to have a minimum of 125 feet.
Right.
Frontage.
Not frontage. That's your...
Diameter.
Diameter.
The diameter.
And I don't see anything showing that it meets that.
It doesn't. Not there.
Yeah.
Well, so the radius that they're showing is 55 feet, which doesn't make it. That's only 110. If your radius of your, and maybe that's only the radius of the asphalt, so I'm looking at C2-0, right up at the top of the cul-de-sac, it says R is 55 feet, but if that's just asphalt, that's not right-of-way, then you need to make sure that the right-of-way is big enough, and the asphalt has to go to the right-of-way. So what she's talking about is for fire, to be able to have the apparatus turn around in there, you've got to have that, and it has to be paved the entire distance. You can't cut it short. So either way, 55 feet's not enough, but it still doesn't look like the right-of-way is going to give you that 125 feet that you need. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
The other thing I had on cul-de-sacs, and I'm not smart enough to tell, so part of this would go on Norm or whether or not we need to send it to JUB for engineering as well, is... For me, was making sure that, I mean, in the ordinance, it says it's got to show that, you know, we've got to be able to prove that the water runoff
right.
from these lots are not going to run onto the cul-de-sac
right.
and run onto the pavement.
So I actually have a comment on that. You are not showing a roadway cross-section. You've got to have a roadway cross-section that shows a 2% slope, including the cul-de-sacs, meaning everything has to drain off. And there has to be a 5 or 10 foot downslope from the edge of the asphalt to catch to a swale. You've got some swales shown, which is fine, but you don't have a cross section of the road shown. You've got to put that. That's what you're talking about. Is yeah. just making sure that they can show proper drainage once the asphalt's
done. Well, that area is a drainage problem to begin with, anyways.
Well,
it's just wetland area.
None of these will show any kind of how the road's got to be built up. Because it's going to have to be built up a lot down in there.
So that's another point that I have is the geotechnical report. I'm not seeing a geotechnical report.
And it's going to need some structural fill under there.
Yeah, so the geotech is going to need to show the current situation, the water that you're talking about, and how far. Because I agree with you. I think those roads are going to have to come up maybe even a foot or two to be up high enough.
They're going to have to put at least 16 of structure under there before we can put down the 6 road base.
Right, right. Well, and that's even after they clear and grub, right? So you're going to have a geotech report is required to show us what that road cross section looks like, and it has to be site specific. Do you have a geotech already?
And perk test.
And perk test, great. So that will need to come and be a part of a review for a preliminary plan, but we're saying it because we're not seeing it right now. So.
I wouldn't expect you to know.
No, you're good. I just didn't see it, and that's normally.
Well, and even with the geotech, it says in our specs that the public works will decide actually.
And so that's fine. But
comes back and says they're only putting 12. They're not putting 12. They're going to at least 6.
Yeah, again, we've got to see the report and make sure that we understand what they're talking about and how
they might be doing their tests when the water level is not as bad.
Right.
We've been doing monitoring on it for about a year.
It's been really dry for the last couple of years.
Yeah. Groundwater modeling, monitoring.
A couple fire trucks out there on that property.
Buried a few, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
So,
this one specific? This one specific, really. Mm-hmm. Yes. We were burning weeds. We were doing a fire watch, and we buried a heavy.
Yeah. Well, on a wet year, you'll have standing water on some of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, on that little parcel for sure. Mm-hmm.
So road cross section, geotech, and also water study. Do we still require a water study,
we
right?
We can. Yep.
So this is one of those areas in town where we've just run new lines and put some bigger lines in out there for these homes to be able to develop. It'd be good to have a study for fire flows and other things that will help us to understand now that the system is in that it can support what it's supposed to support. So typically those are done by fire flows, and those typically are witnessed by the fire department.
Well, and I'm sure we'll be sending this to JUB
right.
to do a...
The water right. study.
Water analysis.
The water analysis.
Right.
Because they're putting in more than
500. But with that, you need to make sure that you give them some fire flow tests on the existing hydrants that are there, because that can help them with their modeling.
Okay.
Right? They've done a model for the entire town with... Even these new lines, what did we put out there? A 16-inch line a couple years ago? 12 or 10 or 16-inch line? 12-inch line. So without that 12-inch line, there wasn't enough flows to build. And so now that it's there, we need to do some flow tests on those hydrants that are in that existing subdivision. And I think...
York Farm?
No, across the street to the east.
Kennison?
Kennison's just put in a fire hydrant, if I remember. We should be able to use those and make sure that we've got enough flow. So those are the comments that I have besides the connectivity of the road. So And where we're not, are we going to be giving them formal comments back, or are we just letting him take notes?
I'm taking really good notes.
Okay, perfect.
I think Nikki is.
Perfect. Okay.
So, but yeah.
Are we recorded?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we can go back to it if we need to. It wasn't that I'm afraid of being recorded, but whatever.
Whatever, Norm.
Whoops.
All the time. You don't even know. So those are my comments on it. I don't have anything else after my just very preliminary review, and we don't have a full set of documents to go to a preliminary anyway. Did you have anything else, Chris?
I think that intersection there at the end of that road where it goes in right by the old house, it's going to need a little work done to get beyond in the property. And we may have to move that, or have Rocky Mountain do something with that power pole.
Okay.
Because its guy wire comes down right next to the asphalt.
Yeah, we'll coordinate with utility companies.
So it might need to be changed to where that radius can be better, because right now there's only irrigation.
I didn't see, am I missing it? But I didn't see irrigation plans on here at all, or any power plans, or any natural gas plans.
I couldn't see the gas or power lines on here either.
The only thing I saw was water.
Yeah.
Water lines, meaning, right?
Culinary. That's the only thing. I didn't see any.
Opposite side from the culinary.
Correct.
Yeah, I seen something.
And power goes in the utility easement.
Yep.
And the gas can go on the edge of the right away.
So with that, we are looking, just so you're aware, we are looking tonight to change our subdivision ordinance for PUEs. I don't know what that's going to look like. We're going to talk about that in Planning Commission tonight. We happen to be on the Planning Commission, so we know that that's coming.
Yeah.
But the way that you have the easements drawn are likely not going to match what's needed for easements. And it's actually going to be less easements than what you have shown if it passes tonight and the council passes it in. Is it 2 weeks, third Wednesday? Okay. So just know that that's coming as well. The other thing that I don't know, on lot number 12... do you have proper frontage on that? 165 feet? I'm not sure you have proper frontage there.
It is at
100. Boy, that's tight.
It is, I think, exact.
It is exact. According to that,
laying this out, I think two lots came out. L52 on the frontage.
C1.
Yeah, and I personally am not thrilled about that 12 and 13 shape. And,
does it fall under that weird?
They meet all the criteria for a lot with the setbacks and building square footage and cross sections.
Yeah, I just don't know if they meet the criteria of a
flag lot.
What was our thing referred to them as?
What did they call it?
I can't remember what their wording was.
Yeah.
Something to the effect of an undesirable lot.
So, Chris, let me ask you a question on that, and Ace as well. Would it be better to just run that down and do a hammerhead down there and put some of that back onto lot 12 that's in 13? Would that be better? I'm just talking out loud. I'm not saying that's what's required. I'm just saying.
I mean, I've looked at it as if you're going to buy that lot, I definitely wouldn't want that lot.
No, neither one of
them. I wouldn't want lot 13 or lot 12.
Is it in design standard?
I mean, even 14, 15 are long and skinny, but I mean.
Hey, Josh.
So we do allow hammerheads.
Well, they're down in the lightest part of it.
We do allow hammerheads.
I think we have a standard for a hammerhead in our standards, don't we?
Uh-huh.
I'm just asking the question because what that would do is make L50.
That's going to, lot 13 is going to be really wet. 12 is going to be wet. Back row is going to be.
Wettish.
Yeah.
So that's another question that I have is, in our code, we have a... a requirement for a hazard mitigation study. Do we have anything on that that we require that requires them to look at the groundwater?
In our new flood stuff?
Uh-huh.
In the subdivision ordinance, it requires a water report regarding flood risk and stormwater needs.
So that's something that you're going to probably have to do along with the geotech report, is to talk about. Because that's what these guys are talking about. It's really easy to throw a lot on a piece of paper, but if it's unbuildable, then we have to make sure that we take that into consideration.
Right.
So that's something that, and she can get you the exact wording on that, but that's something that needs to become typically a geotechnical engineer, maybe an environmental engineer. I don't know who's going to do that for you, but some type of an analysis that says, okay, if you're going to build on lot 13, you got to do this, or you got to, you know,
a certified building pad or something.
I'm not that kind of engineer, so I don't know. I'm just anyway.
Something along those lines will be addressed.
Yeah.
So did you talk about the floodplain map, the FEMA floodplain map?
Well, that's what we're talking about, is that that we require something in here that talks about having them give us a flood report, a flood mitigation.
But the new floodplain prevention ordinance we just passed, is that, which is different, right? So
yeah, it's different.
So there's a FEMA map, and I'm not sure where all of that goes, but FEMA has a map that says if you're in this area, then you have to follow these additional rules and development and all that stuff. And so I don't know. I know where the map is. I just don't know if this is on it. So.
I think we're on the edge of it. And when we've met, they are redrawing a lot of that Utah Lake boundary floodplain.
We just got notice of the final map, though. Do you recall sending that out like a month or so ago?
Okay. I can look those up. Of course, you will.
Yeah, I've looked them
probably
up.
Can too.
So any report that you get from an environmental or a civil or whatever is going to have to reference those maps that he's talking about to make sure that you're in line with that.
Okay.
Again, the whole point here is, and there's a concern from folks that have lived here a long time, that those may not be buildable lots, and that floodplain map is going to help to determine that.
The floodplain map, I looked at it, and it didn't quite get to this property.
Yeah.
But I've lived here for 60 years, and I know that's been wet before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the floodplain map, if it's on it, then there's a whole bunch of other stuff you have to do. Even if it's not on it, you still have to do what the rest of the ordinance says.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know what the elevation is there?
I don't know off the top of my head. I might have it listed on one of the pages. I don't have it.
Let me look and see if there's a topo map here that I can see that on.
There's one that's got some topo on it.
Because I know what the compromise level is.
If they bring stuff in there, or
certified fill.
Yeah, fill in there, and they build it up enough to build on there.
I'm not going to tell them that. That is a...
Because Brian did that on his lot at the bottom of that horseshoe.
And it's still there.
And it's the county still.
No, it can't.
Yeah, boy, if you miss the FEMA map, it's just barely. Yeah.
It is barely.
Because compromise is 4491, and I'm seeing 4500 with some lines below it. So you're missing the FEMA map, that is about as lucky as you're gonna get. By a couple of feet.
I'm glad it's this project because I'm fighting it on a couple other ones. So.
Yeah.
I know how hard that is.
Well, welcome to life nowadays. Yes. All the easy stuff's gone.
Oh, I know.
All the easy stuff's gone.
Which is why we're trying to say, you know, why we should be over this project and helping it get through to make sure it gets done the right way and have the specialties to know how to make sure it is done the right way.
Nikki, did you find in our own?
I'm trying to remember.
Lot shapes.
I can't remember. There's something in there. And
if it was me doing it, I'd be tempted to join 12 and 13 into one bigger lot and sell it off.
Or if they do a hammerhead down at the bottom, then they've got all that road in front of it.
Yeah, 12 could come down. That L52 could lengthen out and come down to a hammerhead. And then
we would have better shapes.
Yeah, you'd have a better shape at least for 12. 13's not going to be real great.
No, on the bottom end.
But
you could also remove that cross section of the street too, and have it be two ends. Is that correct? If it was a hammerhead from the York side, and then you could do the cul-de-sac.
If they do a hammerhead, I don't know that 13's got enough frontage.
Right.
I don't think 13 or 14 gets enough frontage.
Let's just encourage that you get with Nikki and we'll look at the ordinance.
Drop some concepts too and kind of put some numbers to the size and dimensions and frontages.
There is something in one of the ordinances. I just can't remember exactly where it's at. I have to find it. And I have it marked, but it's marked at the office copy and not this copy. Where it does say you can't give, you can't have weird shaped lots, basically. Undesirably shaped lots where you're just making it basically kind of like a flag lot, but it also alludes to, other than just flag lots.
Yeah, I would definitely suggest that you look at doing something a little more feasible, a little more, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, but just a suggestion. Especially with where you're at on lot 13, the only buildable area you're going to have on 13 is going to be in the back. And that's where the water's at.
Because you got to be back a minimum of 35 feet.
If it was me doing it, I'd have combined those lots into one little bit bigger lot, and that way you wouldn't even need that cul-de-sac at that point. You could just create a curve.
Right, you just curve around, and then, yeah, that might be a good idea. Because you've already got some fairly big lots there, 14, and, you know, 14 could even be maybe a little bigger if you, anyway, yeah. Just a thought there.
If you had one that you could sell that could even qualify as
green, yeah, you
that,
might
that
even,
would be a big deal.
That's the other thing, is if you had 5 1/4, is it 5 1/4?
5 1/4.
If you had 5 1/4 lot, that somebody could get green belt on it, and that's way lower taxes and maybe
so
desirable.
It becomes a more desirable lot.
Okay. Right, and let's face it, people out here could use it for horses, right, David?
Yeah, that's
what it was used for.
That's, yeah.
Even farmable.
Right. Yeah. Too wet. Way. It's too wet.
They have to put animals on
but
it.
But
you
yeah.
Can, yeah.
Just put
why can't I find
on
that
stain? Yeah.
And
bees.
I'd drive you crazy.
When you're
marked
on the spot.
They had it marked
on the ground. Term use? It's just rocks. So
I think it's undesirable.
I just have animals.
It's undesirable, too.
Yeah.
The goats like it.
Is it in development standards? And I don't know what the other committee members feel. I don't know. To me, I would feel like this would be, I mean, we already have to send it JUB anyways for a water analysis anyways. I think it'd be worth it to, I mean, they'll have to pay the money for it, but to have it looked at JUB for more than just the water analysis.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things where you're just going to have to find the right company. It's either going to be an environmental or probably a geotech.
The ordinance says we can send it. We can make them send it to ours.
I get it, but I'm not sure the JUB is going to take that on.
Okay.
I used to work there, so I understand.
Oh, okay.
they're not a geotech, and I'm not sure how far they get into the environmental.
Yeah.
They may have some specialists up in one of their other offices. But just
is what they would be doing is just reviewing whatever they
could be. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. Yes. But as far as the environmental or the water hazard stuff, I'm not sure they would do that. They could certainly review it, but I'm not sure that they can prepare it for you.
I think that's what Nikki's saying, is that we'll want to send this one to them just to review the final plan. So on our behalf, go ahead.
This is what it says, subdivision ordinance, right? Building sites, the lot arrangement, design, and shape shall be such that lots will provide satisfactory and desirable sites for buildings and be properly related to topography and conform to requirements set forth therein. Lots shall not contain peculiarly shaped
elongations
solely to provide necessary square footage which would be unusable for normal purposes.
Again, and that, what you're talking about is, to me, with the water issues back on 13 where you could only put the house, then that's not conforming to that.
So that's the language that we would point to that would cause us concern with what you've got laid out from this.
Where is that at? So I can mark it.
Before it's in 2008-04 and then number 4.
That's okay.
Lot.
There we go.
If we can show like a building pad site that's along normal standards that would fit in this lot 13 towards the front of the cul-de-sac, I don't believe the desire is to put a house in the back in that big area. I believe that's more to use as pasture or livestock.
I'm just visually going, you know, if I were to buy that lot, I would.
Agree.
Or if somebody else were to buy that lot, they may want to say, I want the house in the back. But if the water doesn't allow that, that's a problem.
Right.
The other thing is that does your septic system analysis take into account the lowest portion of that land? As far as septic systems, because they're going to have a shallow system for probably all of these lots.
For five of them, they do.
Yeah.
Yep. And we've been working with the septic designer for those lots, and what's not shown on these are the secondary reserve
spaces
for the septic. The squares here are just showing kind of a reference for a primary site.
Are you guys building the homes?
Maybe. We're still in discussion with that. I used to build homes for 10 years, and so we have the know-how to do it. We just market is yeah, very unknown. What they, yeah. So, yeah, that would be a question for my management. I would love to build
homes. I know that the York Farm Estates, they were going to build homes there. You had to have, but that didn't end up.
They bailed on that because they couldn't sell them. They couldn't sell them.
The homes.
The homes. So they didn't.
Well, they couldn't sell the lots because nobody wanted them building their house. So.
Right. Right. They wanted to build their own. Yeah, they didn't want to choose.
Which is kind of, that's kind of how it goes out here. People want to build their own house out here.
I figured that.
So see, that has, when you're not building the homes, that has me questioned for things of, you can't control where things go in future use that way. As easily.
I've seen certified building pads where you can put on the map, this is our location of a building footprint, and market it as so.
Right, it's recorded on the pad. It's called a buildable area. That's true.
Okay. And so then
you're bound to that
future
right.
buyer of unknown that you are making it a recorded future lot.
Have you guys gotten your letter of clearance from the health department?
They won't give it to us until we get approval for our site plan from you guys.
So that we have a chicken happen. And an egg.
It is. It's the same thing.
There's no way that'll happen.
So how can I talk to the health department about that?
I don't.
And the Highland Canal had the same concern because we went and I had Marty with the Highland Canal sign this giving approval. Yeah. But he also said, if it changes, you have to come back and we have to recheck our bonds and redo
right.
the planning commission.
That happens all the time out here. So that's just part of building out here.
So as far as the health department is concerned,
we've never approved anything without their approval.
Right. We've always had their letter before.
I've been working with Drew, and this is, I think, my third project with Drew at the health department, and we haven't had any issues. And then when I asked for a will serve on this, he was like, oh no, you need to get approval from the city before we can issue that. And I'm like, well, I can't get approval
right
until I get a letter.
Right.
So who's going to
So is it because
battle?
They won't do it because they're not comfortable with it?
I don't know. Not from my understanding with how my relationship with Drew has been in other projects. I wouldn't feel like he's withholding anything that
our process has always been and is that we get the letter from Highland Canal, before we can get final approval, those letters have got to be to us. So if that's now changed with the county, then I don't know what that looks like. But
Highland Canal would be if we say these plans have to change, then you'll have to go back and get a redone
plat map
and redone for them.
The estimates and the bond amount for Highland
may have
Canal
to change.
All have to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have to
And then you'll bring it back to us.
They have to redo their pre-construction meeting, redo their committee, and redo their approval.
Which happens often out here.
It is
a lot, but it is. Our lots
are
too big.
I don't know what, I mean, our code requires, our subdivision ordinance requires that letter from the county.
Can I have Drew call you? How can we hash this out?
Well, there's no way we could give final approval without.
Well, Drew called me a while ago and he wasn't super comfortable with it.
Because of the.
But that was a couple months ago. So I don't know what's changed. I don't know. I don't know.
Because I know we had a different layout, and we met here with the mayor. And
this was after that still. He wasn't still super comfortable with it.
Okay.
So I would be, at my point, my vote would be no, just because if they're not comfortable with it, I'm not willing with that one. That's not me. But that's me.
The health department?
With the health department, yeah.
Well, we can't go against our code.
Right.
Yeah.
Our code, we are here as an administrative body to follow the code. We are not here to make an opinion or decide something different than the code. If it says in the code we have to have that letter, we have to have that letter. And if there's a there's a push there, then I'm not sure where that goes. Because we've always had it. When my subdivision was built in 2007, that was provided.
Okay. I'll keep asking.
Okay.
Try to find out why, what his concerns are. I don't know of any, so.
Okay.
I'll follow up with him.
Well, that's all I have. There's plenty still there to work on, I think.
Yeah.
And since there's no action, I guess.
Thank you for your time. thank you for your eyes and ears and hearing this out.
So that's, we're an advisory board to the Planning Commission, right? And so if we're ready to recommend that to the Planning Commission, which we're not.
This, we are not. This is just a pre-application meeting. Just so you understand. You'll have to come back.
So to be clear also, the business is just discussion. We're not, this is not a DNPA tonight.
Correct.
So, but that is, you're right. The process is bring it back here to us, and then we become a recommending body. And we're going to talk about all these things.
Right.
That,
with the letter and the engineering
with
and all of our reports.
All the comments that we've given you, we're going to circle back around and make sure that we feel like that's all been addressed.
And they'll be showing PI on all these too.
They'll have to show PI, they'll have to show power, and they'll have to show gas. Because they're not showing that right now.
Yeah.
I was focused on the water, but you know, again, have you looked at the hydrants? Have they got good spacing for the hydrants? Do you know, or Ace, have you looked at that?
We do meet the spacing requirements.
Okay.
That was linear feet of roadway, not just circumference spacing.
So yeah, we'll have to look at that a little once you get them designed. Once you get your design and have them on there and make sure they have the right coverages.
Yeah, they are, and we made sure, because we didn't want to like cross the lots as in our footage, so we tracked it like curb or street.
Which you would have to, because if we're on 500 feet of LVL,
you're not going across.
We're not going to be able to cross people's property. We're going to go down the road.
So yeah, we laid it out for that.
That's what we'd have to have.
Perfect.
Okay.
It should cover all the 250 feet between.
Is that it then?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, I'll make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.